We read from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. And my Bible has a little heading over those that portion of scripture. Jesus healing a man taken with palsy. Thank you, Brother Willie, for the theme you had there in your songs tonight. If we are that man that's taken with a physical ailment, spiritual ailment, we can go to Jesus at any time, and he is the physician. He knows how to heal, as we're going to read here tonight. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Just a thought. It was because of their faith. They acted on their faith. You know, we would, if we were in the tiling here tonight, would start to lift up, and a sick man would be left down because we know the Spirit of God is here. We would start wondering about those people that are doing that, but they may be acting upon their faith. Do we act upon our faith? I think many times we may not, because we're afraid what other people may think. With these thoughts on our minds, let us kneel for a word of prayer.
I greet each of you in Jesus' name tonight. Good to be together. I thank Brother Marvin for his prayer, and I thank each of you for praying. And I encourage you to keep praying, because my heart's desire tonight is that this scripture here in Luke that Brother Marvin read would be a blessing and would truly bless each one of you that are gathered here and each one who is listening on the phone. Some of us are going through the book of Luke. And tonight we are to this section, Luke 5, 17 through 26. I guess if we want a title for this sermon tonight, I would call it the last phrase of our text. We have seen strange things today. Brother Marvin's comments were right in line with mine, and I even thought what an object lesson we could have tonight if I would have got five men upstairs, four young men, a bed and ropes, and during the evening the tile would open up, and Marvin said that very thing, and down comes a man. What an object. Well, I'm just not capable of all that, so we'll have to forego the object lesson. But they saw strange things, and you might agree that that would be a strange thing tonight if that would happen. But with God, all things are possible, and with God, amazing things happen. And I had to think with the sermon this morning, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Have you ever heard someone say, boy, I missed all the excitement because something unique or something unusual happened in the service and somebody wasn't there and I should have been there. I really missed it. As we go through this scripture tonight, think about the people that were present for that service where Jesus was teaching. Think about the person who heard about that gathering. Obviously, many people heard about it and many responded and came, but somebody might have heard about that gathering and said, well, I'm too busy, and I'm not sure about this Jesus anyhow. And then later they heard about what happened. Oh, if just I would have went. If I would have went there and been there to see that and to experience that. So I had to think of that in connection with not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Luke chapter 5 here tonight, beginning at verse 17. And the scripture there that Brother Marvin read, it starts out with, "It came to pass on a certain day." Many other times as you read the earthly ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, the scripture will very plainly say, on the Sabbath day, Jesus did this, and on the Sabbath day, Jesus did that. For an example, Luke chapter 4, we had this scripture some weeks ago. There in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. A lot of times you have that. It specifically tells you that what you're going to read about happened on the Sabbath day. Our scripture tonight, it just says, and it came to pass on a certain day. And I'm fairly certain tonight that it was a weekday. It was not the Sabbath day, or I think the text would clearly say that it was the Sabbath day. I think it was a weekday. And so there was an assembling on a weekday. I had to think of that as also in connection with the morning. It was a weekday. I'm convinced of that. And it was a weekday, and what I want to say about that is Jesus' earthly ministry was to teach the Word of God and meet the needs of people, and he took advantage of every day of the week to do this earthly ministry. He didn't wait for the Sabbath. He didn't wait for that one day out of seven to be busy doing what God sent him to earth to do. He was about his Father's business 7 days a week. It was a weekday, and Jesus was busy teaching the Word of God and meeting the needs of the human race. Not just on the Sabbath, but every day. The religious elite who were in that gathering in our text tonight would not be able to attack Jesus this time for somehow not keeping their Sabbath laws. They would have to find something else. And try they did, as you will see as we go through the text. These religious elite, tonight they are called Pharisees and doctors of the law. It could easily say Pharisees and scribes, I believe. The doctors of the law were the teachers of the Jewish law. And actually, later in our text, they are actually referred to as Pharisees and scribes. But they would have to find something else to pick a bone about with Jesus and his ministry. And they would try that, as we will see. So, they would look and try to find something. And so this meeting here in Luke 5, 17 to 26 was not on the Sabbath day. It was a weekday. And neither was it in the synagogue. It was not in the synagogue, as it would have been on the Sabbath day. I don't know whose house it was. I don't know if it was Peter's house. I don't know if it was some house that Jesus could come to repeatedly, because he had come back now to Capernaum, his home base, his headquarters, so to speak. And he comes and he's at a house, a private dwelling. He's not at the synagogue. Okay? And so any place is the right place any day of the week to share God's word and God's love and to meet the needs of the human race. It was that way for Jesus, and it's that way for you and me. Any day of the week, any place. When I say any place, how many of you sisters could testify that at the grocery store, you shared your faith, you shared your witness, you explained to somebody why you wear what you wear? I know some of you can testify to that from the grocery store experience, the department store. And, you know, any place, any day of the week, the county park where you're taking a walk, and you see somebody, and they're obviously emotionally distressed. And you and I want to challenge us tonight that any day of the week, any place, there are God-made appointments where we can minister to people as God's messengers of his love and of his plan of salvation. A walk in the county park and you see a person who's obviously distraught. You might even see tears. Do you go on by? Or as God's servant, do you step over and offer some kind words and wonder out loud with them what you can do? Maybe pray. Maybe simply talk. Maybe simply listen. These opportunities abound if our eyes are open and if our day isn't so horribly busy that we don't even take notice. You read the scripture, you read the gospel accounts of Jesus' life on earth. He was constantly taking time out for the special needs that he came across. Sometimes he'd be on a mission and like one time somebody was sick. And meanwhile, the woman touched the hem of his garment. Interruptions. God-given appointments. God-made appointments. Maybe it's a coworker that you can share with. They're down and out, or they have trouble. They're frustrated. The person you're working for, possibly. The employer. Maybe it's a visit to the doctor's office or the dentist's office. And dentists, they especially have a habit of talking and talking and talking, and you can't answer them. Because your mouth's wide open and they get to do all the talking. But eventually you'll be able to talk. And our dentist, well, he's retired now. But I don't think he thought much of God all his life. Maybe I can still go see him. He actually wrote us patients a letter saying he regrets, but because of things that have happened in his life, he really wanted to meet with all his patients one more time, and now he's not going to be able to. Maybe it's the dentist, the doctor's office. Maybe it's in the hospital. Maybe it's in the hospital that you can have that precious word to somebody's hungry ears and heart. Maybe it's with a neighbor who has just suffered and they're going through a real hard place in life. And you know about it. But do you cross the street and do I and do we minister? Any day, any place, we are here to glorify Christ and turn people to a merciful God. Every day and every place, not just Sunday and not just in God's house, not just in the synagogue, not just in church. View life, and I'm challenging myself with this, and going through Luke, I am being blessed, and I want you to be blessed tonight by the scripture. View life as a series of God-given appointments to do what will last for all eternity, reach into the hearts and the lives of people. There were Pharisees and there were doctors of the law in this group that gathered together on this day in the life of Jesus. It says, on this certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law, and it says they were sitting by. Now, Pharisees Just a little bit of just a little bit of rundown on them. They were very religious outwardly. They looked very right on the outside. And I want to take the time to just read a couple of Jesus, some of the harshest words he spoke were to these Pharisees and scribes, these people that were so religious on the outside and appeared to really, really, really have a heart for God. But listen to what Jesus said to some of them in Matthew chapter 23, verses 3 to 5, for example. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. Isn't that sad? For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and they enlarge the borders of their garments. Verse 27 in Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear a beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Verse 33 of that chapter, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? These are words that Jesus shared with the religious elite of his day. I thought we ought to just point that out. These are the types of men. This is some of the crowd that is sitting there with Jesus. What I want to point out tonight, they're not sitting at Jesus' feet. They're sitting by. And we can actually make that mistake coming to God's house. We kind of hear the sermon, but we're not allowing God's word to speak to our hearts. Want us to think seriously about all this. Anyhow, these type of men, the Bible says here in our text that they came out of every town and village. And they were part of this crowd that Jesus was teaching. And the Bible says here that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I wondered long and hard who that them referred to. My study Bible says them refers to those that were sick. I want to take the liberty tonight to suggest that it can also be referring to those who were sitting by. And that it also might refer to those that were spiritually sick. To them, it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who were the them? And who are the them tonight? Was the them they that were only sick, or was the them they that were also sick of things that were hidden within the heart? And did it even include these Pharisees and doctors of the law? I believe it did. Even though my study Bible says that it refers to them that were physically sick, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It isn't quite how it reads. The way I read it, it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them, and he had just got done talking about the Pharisees and doctors that were sitting by, which had come out of every town. I realize it might be more involved than that. But I believe we can make more than one application here. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. It's just up on my same page of my Bible there, verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, of Jesus, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Jesus had been, he has been healing many of their physical ailments, of their physical sicknesses. But the question we would ask tonight is, who needed healed the most? who of the them needed healed the most? Back in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The Pharisees and doctors of the law that were sitting by, they had broken hearts. Worse than that, they had cold hearts and they had hard hearts. They did not even have a heart for God. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And here in our text tonight, he comes with power to heal them. And we ask the question, who needed healed the most? The Pharisees who were sitting by, they needed their hearts and souls healed. And it was more important than those who were there with physical needs. I believe it is accurate to say that Jesus' power was present to heal them that he was teaching. His power was present to heal them that were in the room, that were in that gathering, no matter who they were. To heal spiritual diseases, his power was present. To heal and to give new life, his power was present. To give a new nature, to give a new heart, his power was present. Those who receive Christ's teaching will experience power to heal from the inside out. The brokenhearted healed, the brokenhearted made whole by the physician, the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. It certainly also means that he had the power, and the power of the Lord was present to heal the diseases of the human body. Christ has power to bless every day of the week in every place. I want us to remember that. And he wants to use you and I to get some of that done today. Notice these Pharisees and doctors, these teachers of the Jewish law, were sitting by, the Bible says. Now, in Luke chapter 10, a verse there, in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, the Bible says, and she had a sister, Martha had a sister. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat, did she sit by? No, the Bible says she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Also, Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. We see Paul, Acts chapter 22, verse 3, I'll get it. I am verily a man which am a Jew, this is Paul, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul wanted to learn. Paul wanted to be taught. He wanted to receive the word. It's this type of speech that he was at his feet, just like Mary was. Well, these Pharisees and doctors of the law in our scripture tonight were sitting by. It doesn't say they were sitting at the feet of Jesus. Okay, there's a big difference. Big difference. These Pharisees were not with Jesus for right reasons. They could have been blessed like anybody else in that crowd. But they did not get blessed because they weren't there for a blessing. They didn't bring their cups empty to be filled to overflowing with blessings from God. They could have been blessed, they could have been healed, but they were not. Do you and I ever gather for the wrong reasons and we forfeit God's blessings because of it? Do we gather because others will notice that we have good attendance? Do we gather so that other people see how good we look? I don't know what the reasons might be. But do we ever gather for the wrong reason? And because of that, we go away from this place just as empty as we came. If we do, it's our own fault. We should go away from God's house filled and blessed. by the singing, by the praying, by the word of God. You know, have we ever gathered for the wrong reason? Have we ever gathered here and we're just sitting by? We're not sitting at Jesus' feet. We're not here to be blessed in the word that Jesus has to share with us, but we're sitting by. Just sitting by, not opening our heart to God's life-changing power and message. We're here to pick the sermon apart. We're going to go home and we're going to have roast preacher for dinner. Are we ever guilty of coming here with the wrong motive, with the wrong attitude? Verse 18 of our text. And when you preach expository, the talk has a tendency to run. Verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in. The men that brought him, they sought means, they are the ones that were seeking means to bring him in and to lay him before him, to lay the man taken with a palsy before Jesus. Their goal is to get this palsied man in the presence of Jesus. That's their focus. That's their desire, and that's their goal. Of all their effort, of all their work, that's what they want to have done. They want to get this man to Jesus. There's something that this man needs, and they know they can't do it. But they know a man, they've heard about a man, Jesus, and they believe in him. These four men, Mark plainly tells us that it was four of them. We have this account in Matthew chapter 9, and we also have it in Mark chapter 2. And Brother Garnett preached from one of those Gospels. I'm not sure if it was Matthew or Mark. But I was scheduled to preach this too. I'm not trying to copy Brother Garnett's sermon, and obviously I can't. I don't know half the scripture that man knows. But anyways, these four, according to Mark, it was four of them. And so you get the picture of a bed with a paralyzed man lying on it, and there's a man at each corner, no doubt. And they're carrying him. He's born by these men. Mark uses the word born, B-O-R-N-E, and it means they carried him. And you can picture this. There's probably a man at each corner of this bed. And they're carrying him in. Jesus had been preaching round about the countryside. And now he has returned to Capernaum, his headquarters. By word of mouth, people hear about this, and they flock to this place. They flock to this private residence where they hear Jesus is teaching. And so many of them come that they can't all get in. And so picture this tonight with me. This house is full, and there is also a crowd around the door. And I don't know how many places around the house, but they're at the door. So much so that when these four men bring the man lying on the bed, try as they will, they can't get in. They can't, you know, the normal way to enter a house is to open the door and go in. And that's what they want to do, but they can't do it. There's that many people in the way. The house is filled up, and they're outside, they're around the door. And so these four men show up carrying a man that they wanted to get to Jesus, and they can't. That is, they can't the conventional way, but these men weren't ready to quit. These men were persistent. These men came with a purpose. These men came committed. I'm going to call him their friend. I'm sure he was their friend. These four men had a friend who needed to be in the presence of Jesus, the one who had all power. And they can't get in the door, but they're not quitting. They're not giving up. And so I'm not sure how they did it, and I can't imagine those houses in Palestine were like our houses, and it probably wasn't as hard. Picture your house and getting a man up on the roof that's lying on a bed. I think it was simpler than that, and yet I think it was difficult. And I think it was hard work, but they found a way to do it because they were committed to getting their sick friend to Jesus. And they obviously believed that Jesus could help this man. How desperate are you and I to get people to Jesus? How persistent are we? How hard do we try? because their very eternal life depends on it. These men were persistent. And they went up on the roof. You know, these men, and even the whole crowd, they weren't content to wait for the Sabbath day to be with Jesus. And these four men, you know, the synagogue would have been a lot more room. Probably wouldn't have been near as crowded. But they didn't wait. They didn't wait for the next Sabbath. They didn't wait for the next time. They knew they could find Jesus in the synagogue. They knew that. They knew he would be faithfully there. But they didn't wait. It was a weekday, and it wasn't the synagogue. But they went to where he was to get a blessing where he was on that very day. They didn't wait. They had a friend who had a great need, and they got him there. They wanted to get him there. They wanted to get him in the presence of Jesus then and now, right then and now, and they didn't want to wait. Some Jewish houses had an upper room. More stately houses, more expensive houses, I would say. But this house, I believe, was probably small, more of a poor type, and it was probably open from the dirt floor up to the roof. I don't think there was any upper room. You know, there's a little tidbit in Isaiah chapter 32, 20. Blessed are you that sow beside all waters. Think about that. That's what these men did. And that's how Jesus' earthly ministry was. He sowed beside all waters, every place, every day. I'm not going to let you get away from that. Every place, every day. That God puts you and allows you to have opportunity, and me. Verse 19 of our text. And they, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Unwilling to quit, unwilling to admit defeat, these four men somehow labored to get this man and his bed up on the roof. They removed tiling until there was a hole big enough to let the bed and the man down through the house. Imagine for a moment that you were in that crowd. You were in the house, you were one of the ones that got inside. And you're in there, you're listening to Jesus, and Jesus is teaching like no other, and so he has your attention riveted, and you are listening to him. But despite how powerful the speaker is, He's teaching like no other. You start to hear noises. And can you picture in that setting, if you were there, you and others around you started to look up. You didn't want to be disrespectful. You wanted to listen to Jesus, but you were starting to hear noise, and you start looking up. And lo and behold, eventually you're seeing an opening in the roof. And the noises continue, and they get louder, and the opening gets bigger, and you start to see feet, and you start to see legs up there. And these feet and legs are moving, and the hole really gets big. And then it's almost like the hole closes up. But no, it's not that the hole's closing up. Here comes a bed. This bed is moving, and it's coming down. And you're in this room now with me, and this is happening, and there are four ropes attached to that bed. And it's obvious that this bed is being let down from these four ropes. And it's not until the bed gets lower that you realize that there's an occupant. Here comes a bed down in the middle of this room. And no wonder the text ends up saying, "We have seen strange things today." But eventually they realize that there's a man lying on that bed. And eventually it settles down on the dirt floor, right in front of Jesus. It's a pretty exciting day, isn't it? You're there, you're imagining, you have a good imagination. Wow, this is really something. What's this all about? The owner of the house, what are they doing to my roof? And the wife says to the husband, did you order a bed to be delivered? And he says, no, dear, I certainly did not. I didn't order this bed. Oh, there's somebody on it. Why? Strange things are happening today. There's a man and there's a bed and there's a man and they've just come down through my roof and now they're on the floor. And as it's coming down, remember, they couldn't all get in that house. And so how could there be any room for a bed to settle down? So someone takes charge and says, you better get back. You better move back. You're going to have a bed and a man on top of you. And so they move and they make room. And this bed settles down and there's this crowd of people all around and here sits Jesus. That's their object. They need to get this man to Jesus, the great physician. It's amazing and it's powerful. You know, they had to be a synchronized foursome. I tried to picture all this, and okay, these four men, they probably didn't have any practice doing this. These four men are letting this man down with ropes. What if two of the men get ahead of the other two and this bed starts to go like this? I don't know if they strapped him on or not. And what was this man thinking? I wondered this. You don't read what he was thinking. Was he scared? Did he think his friends were crazy? You know, he was helpless and they're taking him up to this dangerous place and now they're letting him down through a hole. Did he believe in them? I don't know. I don't know what was going through this man's mind. But he was helpless to do anything about it, and his friends were in charge. And he praised God forever, I'm sure, that his friends wanted to get him to Jesus so bad. Verse 20 says, and when he saw their faith, that is, when Jesus saw the four men's faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And this ties right in with the comment that Brother Marvin made. How do you see faith? Isn't faith invisible? Isn't that one of those invisible things of the spirit world or spiritual? How do you see faith? And Brother Marvin said it, by action. Faith without works is dead. Jesus saw their faith. It says that. How did he see it? He saw it by what they were doing. He saw it by their work. He saw it by their action. That is how Jesus knew these men had faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith not only blesses us, but never forget it, your faith can bless others. Some people in the scriptures were healed because of their faith. One time Jesus said, I have not found such so great faith, no, not in Israel. And people were blessed because of their own personal faith. But I don't find that here. I find here that this man was blessed because of the faith of four other people. Your faith can bless someone else. It certainly happened here. It blesses other people. We don't read anything of the sick man's faith or what his thoughts were. I suppose those four men, now they the job has been completed. Their task is complete. They were successful. They got this man down through the roof and they got him right to Jesus. That's what they wanted to do. It would have been easier to come in the door, but that wasn't possible. They got him to Jesus. I suppose these four men stayed on the rooftop. And I suppose they stayed there and they watched down through and they listened down through that hole in the roof. They wanted to see and they wanted to know the end result, the fruits of their labor. I think they were up there and they were listening and they were looking as good as they could down through that hole. I believe they wanted to see their friend physically healed. I believe that's what they wanted. So I'm wondering, as I studied this, I wondered in my own mind, what did those four think? What did they think? There in verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Jesus said unto the man, man, he didn't say arise and walk. He didn't say rise and be healed. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Were the four up on the roof disappointed? Did they wonder at that? I believe with all my heart they worked so hard to get this man to Jesus for physical healing. And Jesus' response is, man, your sins are forgiven. And so I'm not sure what the four were thinking at that point. They want to see their friend physically healed. And then they hear Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. And maybe they're crying within their own hearts, Jesus, we brought him to you for physical healing. Matthew Henry said this, the forgiveness of sin is the only foundation upon which a recovery from sickness can comfortably be built. Now, he's deep, so I'll say that again for us. Henry said, the forgiveness of sin is the only foundation upon which a recovery from sickness can comfortably be built. And Matthew Henry goes on with these thoughts. Forgiveness of sins is the highest prize to seek. If forgiven of sin, but still physically sick, you are under God's mercy. If not forgiven, but healed physically, you are still under God's wrath. Matthew Henry. Very true. Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So that's their response. These enemies of Jesus would oppose him right to the end. Don't forget, they were very religious outwardly, but without heart for God. Were they right that only God could forgive sins? They were right. Yes, they were right. They had that correct. Only God can forgive sins. Were they right about blasphemy? No, they were wrong. Verses 22 to 24. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, man, rise up and walk? And verse 24, very important. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, it was like he didn't finish his statement. And he turns to the man, and he says, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. He didn't wait for an answer. You might think about what their answer would have been. Which is easier? And they'd have said, well, one's not easier than the other, because either one can only be done by God. Only God can forgive sin, and only God can heal. And so neither one's easier. Maybe that would have been their answer. But Jesus didn't give them time to answer. He went on. And so that is it. Yeah, that's actually why Jesus challenged them with this. And as Jesus continued there in verse 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Jesus doesn't finish that statement exactly. Instead, turns to the palsied man, arise and take up thy couch. Jesus' statement was completed by the act of the paralyzed man in verse 25. That act of the paralyzed man, upon hearing the word of Jesus, finished Jesus' statement to perfection and made his point to those hypocrites that were there in his presence, the Pharisees and scribes, the doctors of the law. Jesus was teaching them that the word of authority in the moral realm is proved by the word of power in the physical realm. And actually, in this case here, it was identical. Jesus' power to forgive sins and Jesus' power to heal this man physically, it was identical. And that's what Jesus was teaching them, that the word of authority in the moral realm is proved by the word of power in the physical realm. God forgives sin. He releases sinners from the eternal punishment that sin brings. We praise God tonight that he does that. If by speaking a word, Jesus could not heal this man's physical infirmity, then he has no right to forgive sin. And then he has no right to be called the Messiah. And then he has no right to be the Son of God. But if Jesus can heal physically by speaking a word, then they must admit he has power and authority to forgive sin. Only these hardened hearts would reject what was right in front of them. Jesus made it very clear, and they understood it, but they didn't want it, and they rejected it. What did the healed man do? When he immediately arose there in verse 25 before them, and he took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, the Bible says he left that place glorifying God. Who did he glorify? He glorified the only one that could forgive sin. He went away from that place glorifying the only one that could physically heal. The Bible says he went away glorifying God. And hallelujah tonight, Jesus Christ is God. God bless you.
Let's stand together for closing prayer.